You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Orioles reporter, Brittany Giroli. This is our first podcast of 2017. Brittany, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We're going to kick things off in 2017 by going bold. Bold predictions for the rest of the offseason. Obviously, less than 6 weeks, I guess, until pitchers and catchers report down in Florida. So what's something the Orioles could do, or maybe is unlikely to happen, but it would be a bold prediction for something they'll do between now and when pitchers and catchers report?
Well, I think something unlikely, but something that would be certainly getting the fan base very excited would be if they were to go out and orchestrate an extension for third baseman Manny Machado. And that's not something that I think is going to happen at all, Tim, but I think if we're going to talk about bold predictions, it doesn't get much bolder than the Orioles really coming forward, opening the wallet, and putting together a really nice deal to keep Manny Machado in that black and orange for years to come.
Yeah, that would certainly be a franchise organizational changing type move when you look to the future, because I think at this point most people assume, because of his representation and everything else, that Manny Machado is going to find his way into free agency. And if the Orioles are going to keep him, they're going to have to kind of win a bidding war. But wow, if they could extend him here during this next little stretch, that would be certainly amazing and a bold prediction. So the Orioles have made a move to help out in the outfield. They acquire Seth Smith from the Seattle Mariners. They send Yovani Gallardo away. Now, you can never have too much starting pitching depth, but the Orioles did have, when you look at it, six starters for five spots if everybody stays healthy. So, in a sense, dealing from a position of strength, and Gallardo, to be honest, wasn't great at times during 2016. So on paper, to me, Brittany, this looks like probably a win-win for both teams, but from the Orioles' perspective, it certainly fills a need in the outfield.
Yeah, you know, all along they wanted the left-handed hitting outfielder. Seth Smith gives them that. They also wanted to upgrade defensively. So it was definitely a top priority for them, outfield and catching-wise. This is a good move. As you mentioned, Yovani didn't pitch very well last year. It was the first time in eight seasons, I think, that he didn't hit the 180-inning mark. He was on the disabled list, really ineffective, and they were kind of disappointed with that. So they feel like this move also saves them about $4 million in terms of salary, enables them to make another move later in the winter. They like this move. I think this is a good move for them. It's something that certainly makes them a better team than they were yesterday.
Are they comfortable heading into the spring with basically just those five proven starters, or will they add someone just from a depth perspective?
I think they might add somebody depth-wise, maybe a low-risk guy, maybe make a move in spring training even when teams are kind of setting their rosters. Nothing too exciting, I don't think, but there's certainly potential for them to do something there. There's also guys like Tyler Wilson and Mike Wright who are probably going to start the season at AAA, who they have depth-wise. So they're in an okay position starting pitching-wise. And again, Yovani Gallardo wasn't terribly effective, so it's not a big blow to them in terms of performance.
And then the other obvious kind of follow-up question is, does this have any impact on the Orioles' ability to still possibly bring back Mark Trumbo?
I don't think so, Tim. You know, when you talk about Trumbo and Seth Smith, talk about totally different players. The Orioles have always wanted to add a left-handed hitting outfielder, a guy who was very defensively sound, and that's not Mark Trumbo. So I think this still leaves room for Trumbo. Like I said, it saved them a few million as well. This isn't a deal that overstretched them or cost them anything by any means in terms of money or prospects. So I think that Mark Trumbo situation is pretty much unchanged from this.
The Orioles did make, a minor move with a former big-time name in baseball. Jesus Montero gets a minor league deal. Here's a guy who was once upon a time the number three prospect in all of baseball and seemingly a can't-miss type power hitter back when he was with the Yankees. They then traded him to the Mariners in that big deal for Michael Pineda, and now he's kind of bounced around a little bit. You look at the AAA numbers a year ago, Brittany, pretty good, really. Not really the power numbers you would hope, but overall not bad numbers. What are the Orioles hoping that they might be able to get out of Jesus Montero, who's now 27 years old?
I don't think they know. And yeah. First of all, he's suspended for 50 games, too, that he has to start serving, I believe, as soon as that minor league season starts up. So that's going to delay him, of course. That's going to hurt his chances of coming up and having an impact. But it's interesting because he switched from catcher to that first base DH role. So I think he maybe gives them a little bit of depth down below, kind of a low-risk signing, given some of the things that he's been dealing with. So I don't think anybody really knows what to expect out of him. It's certainly a small move, but an interesting one, and one that maybe, who knows, we're sitting here in August and September talking about the impact he's had on this club. I mean, stranger things have happened. This is very much a Dan Duquette, low-risk type of signing.
Yeah, every year there are moves made in the offseason such as this that end up being great moves that you look back on and you think, why didn't other teams do that? And then there's lots of moves like this that don't end up ever working out. So we'll certainly see, but it's worth the gamble at this point. And we won't know for some time, as you said, with the suspension. It's going to be a while before the Orioles really get any answers to the question about Jesus Montero. When you look at what needs to be done, other than possibly signing Mark Trumbo, it seems like this Orioles team is in a pretty good place with a little over a month to go before spring training. There's no other big holes to be filled at this point, right?
I mean, I think they'd like to add an on-base percentage guy. They'd like to really hone in a little bit more on the outfield. But, I mean, they're in an okay spot. I think going out, addressing the catching situation early on certainly helped them. They haven't really been a team that went into this winter with four or five different moves that they needed to make. They weren't going to add any starters. They really wanted to keep that bullpen intact. So there's certainly some things they could still do, Tim, but they don't have a super long list. And they really didn't going into this winter. They were really concentrated on outfield and catching. And certainly Mark Trumbo will factor into what they can or can't do the rest of the way.
You mentioned that they weren't planning on adding any starting pitching, and you wrote an article recently about Kevin Gausman and his good second half to the season, what that could mean for 2017. And while they haven't added any pitching, you look at this rotation as a whole, starting pitching at least, you look at the rotation as a whole, and it seems like there's a lot of places where they could be better than a year ago, and Gausman certainly a big part of that, and he's going to need to kind of carry over how he finished into 2017.
Yeah, he's a big one. And it was interesting to me, the Morgan, the stats, just how good he was. Watching him, I knew, obviously, that he really had a great month there in August. But looking at the stats, looking at what he was able to do overall in that second half, and how deep he was consistently getting into games, which is what they really needed the most out of that rotation. I think he's a guy you can feel good about as long as he's healthy, maybe being a 200-inning guy for them next year. And him coupled with Chris Tillman, Dylan Bundy is another guy who nobody really knew what to expect last year. He's going to be able to go a little bit longer, a little bit more than he did this past year. I think having guys in the contract year, Sebaldo Jimenez and Wade Miley, there's a lot of incentive for these guys to do well in that rotation. And, you know, it's a gamble, not going out and adding a starting pitcher is definitely a gamble, but there certainly is some optimism internally within the Orioles organization over some of these guys and their performances and over what they could possibly do in this year coming up. And Gausman is the one who comes up the most. It just seems like he's at that age. He's starting to really come into his own and be that top of the rotation guy that they envisioned when they drafted him out of LSU.
Great stuff, Brittany. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Orioles edition. For Brittany Giroli, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.